Hello, listeners. Welcome to season 7 of the Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm a managing partner here at Bigrio and Demo Consulting. And I'll be your co-host today along with Rohit. Today, we are very excited to welcome Dr. Anne Snowden to our podcast. Dr. Snowden is a fascinating guest because she looks at healthcare through a lens that most leaders overlook, which is the supply chain. While many healthcare executives focus on clinical care, digital transformation, or reimbursement, Anne has spent decades demonstrating that quality, safety, and innovation all depend on the invisible infrastructure that actually connects products, data, clinicians, and patients. Anne is the professor of strategy and entrepreneurship at the University of Windsor and the CEO of Scan Health, and also the chief scientific research officer at HIMSS. She has spent decades studying the intersection of healthcare delivery, technology, and system resilience. And we are really happy to welcome her to our podcast today. So welcome, Anne. We're looking forward to a very interesting conversation. And with that, I'll request Rohit to give a brief introduction, and then it's all yours.
Thank you. I'll be really brief. Thank you, Ritu and Anne. Good to be here with both of you. I'm the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast and looking forward to an engaging conversation here. So over to you, Anne.
Thank you. I'm Anne Snowden. As Ritu has shared, I am a chief scientific research officer for HIMSS, where, of course, our HIMSS mandate, mission, and vision is to ensure every human everywhere has access to their full health potential. When you really think about that, that requires some pretty impressive flow of data right to the point of the decision, starting with patients, of course, and clinicians. I'm a nurse by training, a full professor in Ontario Business School, a program of research, as you've said, in supply chain, which is a very important infrastructure piece. But it's the one that most people just don't realize is important. So with that, I'm delighted to be here and absolutely looking forward to our discussion.
Great. So let's jump right in. So, you know, the topic and the keyword of the day is AI. And we are all inundated with promises about the potential of AI. You know, AI is going to revolutionize healthcare. But what do you think, you know, what real progress have health systems actually made towards this digital or AI transformation? And in your opinion, do you think we can actually get there? And what's like the horizon you see for real change?
For real change. Such a great set of questions. I absolutely think AI does hold great promise, and it is probably one of the most unique groups or types of technologies health systems have seen in likely decades. The real catch here is, what does it achieve? What can it achieve right now, I think, remains to be seen. There is lots of impressive work we are seeing at HIMSS across Asia-Pacific countries, North America, Europe, of course. And much of that work is in the pilot phase. It's try this on for size. Of course, healthcare, health sector is a very evidence-driven sector. We rely, I'm a nurse by training. If I'm going to use a new technology to deliver care to the children I used to care for, I want to know for sure it is going to be valuable. And most definitely not cause harm. I would say we're early, Ritu, in where health systems are. Great promise, a lot of attention. As a researcher, when I look at the hard data, pretty early. Lots of anecdotal evidence, lots of impressive work around AI tools for the clinicians and the work life, the quality of work life, ambient listening, so it doesn't take me so long to document care that I've delivered to patients. But beyond that, it's early days, and I think it's unfolding so quickly that I think health systems are also struggling to, A, really understand its capability, and B, think through how to best integrate it into care processes to achieve what it promises, actually, for patients in the workforce.
Yeah, thank you, Anne, for that answer. I think you're echoing what, you know, we've been hearing a lot from all the C-suite leaders who've been coming onto this podcast. And basically, the consensus is that all these health systems are investing heavily in these AI transformation initiatives, but scaling this innovation remains a challenge. And like you said, the anecdotal evidence is there, but based on, you know, real numbers, I think we still have some way to go. So in your opinion, you know, from everything you see, what are some of those biggest barriers which are preventing these healthcare organizations from actually moving beyond these pilots and going to enterprise-wide transformation? What do you see as a key factor?
I think there's three things. Number one, with AI, it's a unique group of technology. It learns and changes mm-hmm. over time. Mm-hmm. So we are a sector that is accustomed to testing and evaluating, like a clinical trial of a device or a medication. And those devices and medications don't change. They're the same. We test and test until we're confident they work for every patient. The challenge with AI is where it starts and where it learns and shifts and possibly drifts. We don't have the methodologies to track that as directly as we would normally with any kind of other technology. So one, it's understanding that this is a technology that has great promise, but it's out of the box, one version, and it continually learns over time. So it's about how do you build that, if you will, the life cycle approach to understanding what it is, what's its purpose, for whom is it best suited, and how are you tracking once you implement it that it's achieving everything it promises? So that's a quite a shift in how health systems operate or have always operated. It's not like the old quality safety, you know, strategy. You track your quality outcomes, but in this case, you're tracking a bit of a moving target. So that's one. The second thing is the workforce and the workforce confidence. It's not exactly like every physician, nurse, pharmacist, allied health professional has been educated on what AI is and is not, what it does and what it can achieve. So it's a bit of a black box for the workforce. The other piece is AI is about prediction. A machine learning tool predicts whether the child I am looking after in this intensive care unit may be at risk for an infection. We are not educated and socialized as a workforce to think about probabilities, which is what a prediction is, the probability of something happen, and then we intervene to prevent them, right? We're educated on very deterministic. Here's the assessment, here's the diagnosis, here's the best pathway, clinical pathway to care for this patient. That's a completely different way of thinking. So that migration of the workforce from deterministic, best practice, clinical practice, now to introducing a technology that's predicting probabilities, allowing us to now prevent those risks, we don't have much experience doing that. So there's, I would say, some perhaps hesitancy or at least many questions in the workforce in terms of, ooh, this is a different way to practice, right? And then if I think the third thing is the evidence. We are a very evidence-driven sector, and the evidence on the AI applications and tools pretty early. So when you put all those things together, fascinating, exciting, compelling, maybe even a little scary, because we're being asked to do things and think differently, make decisions differently for nursing physicians, implement care in a probabilistic preventive strategy, and the system just hasn't caught up yet quite with building those foundations into the system so that when you spend the money on AI, which is expensive, you can be very confident it will return tremendous value for patients, the workforce, of course, and your capacity to deliver care.
Yeah, I think that that's an absolutely brilliant answer and a great summary, you know. Brilliant points, all four of them. I mean, I thought I saw 4 points. The first one, you know, AI being the moving target with it evolving so quickly and new headlines every single day. The second being about the AI and digital literacy, which is, again, we are seeing, you know, people are just not ready. The information is coming in so fast that they're not able to. And I found the third one very interesting because we know that it's probabilistic and we know that it's giving these fuzzy answers. But when you look at it, you know, as a counterpoint to the deterministic outlook that you've been used to, then you can really see how people would have difficulty in kind of migrating. So great answer. Thank you for that.
So I was just very intently listening and thinking about the same, how it is evidence-driven, the industry is so evidence-driven, and that preventing harm and mitigating risk is always, you know, forefront. Yeah. So, Anne, could you please tell us more about your role at HIMSS? And what are some of the key initiatives at HIMSS that you're driving this year or the next year? That is one part of the question. And second, sure. Please also tell us about your story, that how what attracted you into healthcare and how did you start in this industry and the journey as well?
Let me start with what I do at HIMSS. I lead the research at the Office of Scientific Research for HIMSS. Mm-hmm. And the basis of that is really the vision of Hal Wolf, our CEO, and Reed Oakes, our COO. Because healthcare is so evidence-based and so mm-hmm. research-driven, HIMSS, as this global network advancing digital health transformation, needs to be the epicenter for creating the evidence of what does digital health transformation achieve. So that's very much the work I am leading. We've published studies on what does a highly digitally advanced hospital achieve for patients, for the workforce, for performance outcomes, compared to hospitals with much less progress in digital health transformation. One of the answers to that question is quality and safety is exponentially stronger. Those digital infrastructure systems are driving much stronger quality safety outcomes for patients, which is amazing. How it does that remains to be seen. That's sort of the next question. So we've established it clearly does, but how? What's the role of digital health systems? So that's a bit of the work we're doing now. What's it achieving for patients? I'm a nurse by training. Unless something is really going to make the lives better for that, I'm a pediatric nurse, so the kids and the families I cared for, or for any clinician, then we really need to understand that patient experience. So we've also looked at highly digitally advanced hospitals, much, much stronger patient experience outcomes. And speaking of patients, a lot of the work we do at HIMSS, and we measure where are hospitals starting from? Where are they currently in their progress of digital health transformation? Many hospitals will say, we really are impressed with this AI technology. Where do we start? Well, it kind of depends. It's a little like a GPS on a road trip. Well, where mm-hmm. are you starting from and where do you want to get to? So we mm-hmm. measure where are your digital assets and strengths that are really going to serve you well when you advance AI strategies and technologies. So I help lead the research, really the evidence base that drives what digital health transformation is, what it does, and what does it achieve and for whom. And then secondly, work very closely with experts, health systems globally, to define the future of health, digital health transformation. And we measure those using our maturity models. My story, how did I get here? It's a great question. I built my very first machine learning algorithm. I hate to admit this, 2000 and maybe four, maybe five. I was leading a national child seat safety study in Canada because road crashes are a leading cause of death of Canadian children. And as an ICU nurse at the time, I saw and cared for an awful lot of very profoundly ill children as a result of head, neck, and spinal cord injuries from these crashes. I went to the auto industry and said, how come you can't protect our children better? And they said, well, what do you mean? Well, it's all about how you securely seat and protect children in vehicles. So I conducted a national child seat survey, and we built an algorithm, a machine learning algorithm, to predict, once we understand how children are seated in vehicles, which of those ways of seating kids in vehicles predicts risk of
very interesting
being hurt in a crash, right? Same idea. If we know yeah. what puts children at risk, the auto industry can help make much safer seating and seat belts and all yeah. those good things. And so can child seat companies and so can policymakers, right? That's how I really understood the opportunity of artificial intelligence and what it can achieve. As a nurse, I spent a lot of time also worrying about quality and safety outcomes. Medical error is still a problem. No matter what technologies we've had over the last 20 years, we still see challenges in medical error. Why is that? That got me to supply chain. In automotive, they taught me many things. They can track and trace a brake pad right to a vehicle owned by a Canadian citizen in any city in our country. And they can tell you exactly who made that brake pad and why it failed. Can we do that in healthcare? Know exactly what medication was prescribed to which patient and know whether it helped them, achieve nothing, or caused harm? It's a supply chain question. And the answer is no, we can't. That, right? We can't. If we could and we had that data, we could build that algorithm, the AI tool that predicts which patients are at greatest risk. And then as a nurse, I would know, oh, this patient may not do well. Let's find an alternative. So that's a long answer, Rohit, but...
Yeah, very interesting.
My career is about how do we solve these challenges, leveraging technology, transforming systems to achieve what we need to for the people they serve. In a nutshell, that's what my career has looked like.
That's great. Thank you for sharing.
My pleasure.
So from this unique vantage point that you have as the chief research officer at HIMSS, what key areas of health and care are you seeing that could benefit the most from these AI-powered solutions right now, like across all your research?
It's a very, very good question. I can tell you what I'm seeing and what I'm not seeing. And it's likely what I'm not seeing that I'm more anxious to pursue. But what I am seeing is AI is being adopted by health systems generally to optimize or automate processes. So a patient could go online or engage with an AI chatbot to book a scheduling, a visit, a procedure, or whatever. Ambient listening for our clinicians to make documentation better, smarter, great. There's a number of those AI technologies within health systems today that show a lot of promise, but the common theme across almost all of them is making the system work better for the system. The gap I'm seeing, and what I'd really like to see more of, but perhaps it's early days, what is it achieving for patients? What are those AI tools, those agentic AI chatbots, any of these technologies, what are they doing for and with patients? How are they helping people manage their health and care? How are they connecting people to those providers they seek care from in much easier ways than make an appointment, go to a facility, wait in the waiting room, and hope you get seen within a timely manner? Today, what I'm seeing is patients continue to have to meet the needs of the system in order to get care. The gap I see, and I really hope to see how we can influence and advance, is how can we leverage AI tools to help people help themselves? So for example, if I'm a mom and I have a two-year-old with asthma, where are the AI tools that help me as a mom really understand the trigger of my son's asthma and how and when those air quality changes put him at risk when he goes to school, those risks that are alert me, okay, today is a day he should stay inside, not so much with that terrible air quality. In other words, help me help my son manage his asthma. Those are the tools I'm not seeing, but I think AI has a wonderful opportunity. There are many AI tools in the commercial space. That presents an interesting area of both opportunity and challenge. I had a physician who was a pediatrician stand up one day and say, "Ann, I was in an emergency room on call last week. A mother came in. I assessed the child. I diagnosed. We created a plan to help her get better. And the mother looked at me and said, my agent tells me I should be doing something else. Why are you telling me something different?" So that AI in the commercial space is working to help people, but it's not connected to the health system. So it potentially creates a bit of a divide here between best practices when you go to seek care for your child and what an agent has come up with based on any of the analysis it sees in the public domain. So I think it's a great opportunity, and it's one that I think we need to close that gap very significantly to help people help themselves, help them be healthier, have the quality of life they choose, but give them those technology tools that are connected to evidence-based, talented, brilliant provider teams who can help them sort out the craziness they see online with the accurate, correct, truthful information that they need to make good decisions. So I think that's a space that I'm really looking for progress in.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, because that's why OpenAI and Anthropic have jumped right into health, because they're saying 30 to 50 million queries a month from people asking exactly these same questions. How to be better prepared for the doctor's appointment? What should I ask my doctor? How can I prepare myself? So people do want to do this proactively, but they just haven't had the tools so far. So now maybe they will get the tools.
They're coming from the commercial space who's not connected to the reality of care delivery. That's where the gap is. Yeah.
That kind of leads us to the next question, where we are seeing, you know, that healthcare leaders often focus on, you know, clinical quality, patient experience, and financial performance, but all three as, you know, separate priorities. So how can a modern digitally enabled supply chain help these health systems to improve all three simultaneously? And what are the metrics that the executives should be using to actually track to measure this success? Why is it so siloed? You know, one person's looking at finance, one person's looking at the patient experience, like you said, but nobody's talking to each other.
It's so very true. And I literally just gave that presentation. Supply chain is, in every other business sector in the world, is very, very digitally enabled. Think about going online to look to purchase a book, and it will tell you, oh, you're interested in these books. Here are seven other books you might consider, right? It's very transparent and digitally enabled in real time. In healthcare, we collect all the health and safety data, and that team works with it. We have a supply chain team that knows what products they ordered. They have no idea where those products got delivered to, and definitely no idea who used them, and no concept of what those products achieved. So this is about an integrated, interoperable, nearly real-time flow of data to the point of every decision. Part of this is digital infrastructure, right? All the supply chain tools and products usually live in the financial part of the organization. All the patient care delivery that nurses and physicians offer is in the electronic medical record. You have to bring those together because then you know what products do we have, what patients are we looking after, what care do they need, and what outcomes are we achieving when we deliver that care. That transparency across a patient's journey of care, from the primary care physician who referred to the surgeon who did the surgery, the hospital that cared for that patient, right on home, and tracking outcomes across that journey tells you exactly what patients are you seeing, what care are you delivering, what products are you using, and what products are working best and for whom. When you know that, you can customize products and care delivery to exactly what's going to achieve best outcomes for every individual. That's where supply chain now creates that integrated digital highway of information to inform every decision, particularly a patient's decision, across their care journey. That's really the opportunity. And that's another place where I don't see AI being applied. Mm-hmm. But I do see AI as being a phenomenally big opportunity to advance.
Totally agree with that.
Very interesting conversation so far. So Anne, anything that you see in the crystal ball for next year, perhaps? You stopped asking 3 years later.
Yes. Well, the way AI is unfolding, Rohit, it might be, what's your prediction for Monday?
Exactly.
I think predictions are always difficult to make. I do think there is going to be, in the next year or so, maybe less, maybe a little longer, where health systems are going to start to engage much more directly, or hopefully will, patients around how and where they can be very much more part of that health ecosystem. And patients can have and select the tools that are going to work for them, particularly the AI tools, rather than having to rely on whatever you find in the consumer space on one hand and health systems on the other, trying very hard to deliver wonderful care, but not having the connectivity they need. So I think that engagement and opportunity to really mobilize these technologies, ensure they are working for people, starting with patients, supporting their health and care, making sure that workforce is meaningfully connected to their patients. The one reason so many of us go into nursing is to make a difference in people's lives. Yeah. If these technologies help us better understand the meaning of health and care for our patients, there isn't a nurse on the planet that doesn't want to better understand that to ensure that patient gets the care that's going to be meaningful and contribute to their quality of life. So that's, maybe that's a hope and a wish, Rohit. Maybe not a crystal ball, I don't know, but I think it's a phenomenal opportunity and one that HIMSS and many of our colleagues, global members across the world, are really driving to try and advance.
Great. Thank you for those comments, Anne.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on our podcast, Dr. Snowden. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.